From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
A very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia, and as always, it is a great joy to share this hour with you. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m., I do pray, my friends, you're having a blessed, happy, and holy day on this February 21st, and getting on our way out of winter. It doesn't look like there's going to be much of a winter coming. It's a little chilly today, but no snow, and they say next week it's going to be in the 60s. So God is good. If you don't like the snow, God is good. God is always good, whether you like the snow or not. Today is Wednesday. You know, we didn't last Wednesday, which was Ash Wednesday, we didn't do the Holy Father's general audience because it was Ash Wednesday, and I shared with you his Ash Wednesday message. So I'm going to do that from last week. He's doing a series on vice and virtue. And last week, and I'll share it with you today, he shared about sloth. We'll talk about that. And, you know, I don't want to give, again, too much credit to the old boy, the enemy. But we do have to know who our enemy is. So a little later on in the program, a few things. There was something interesting on the Spirit Daily website about an exorcist talking about what the demons like and what they loathe. So I want to share some of that with you. And also another one of those silly Pope Francis said things. I want to clear that up. But first we're going to pray, my friends. And as always, I do invite you to join me wherever you are in praying for all of your special intentions, whatever they might be. And we are praying the prayer of deliverance, parents' prayer for deliverance. As soon as I can get it up here, I got to tell you, you know, I was kind of laying out everything I'm going to talk about today. And, of course, talking about what the demons like and loathe, and also other things. But one thing that Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, who is an American exorcist, said is that the demons will use, really frustrate you with when you're trying to use technology sometimes. And that's what's happening right now. But don't worry, we'll take care of it. God will take care of it. I'm not afraid. We have to trust that the Lord will. If you could see what I'm going through right now, I'm multitasking with my technology here. Anyway, let's pray this beautiful prayer of deliverance. And thanks to everybody who called in yesterday and emailed and texted Bruce's program, Come to the Throne. A lot of powerful prayers being raised. And I do encourage you, my brothers and sisters, that when you go to our website, domesticchurchmedia.org, you do take advantage of the opportunity to have us, and especially Bruce and Linda, pray for you. When you click on the word pray on the top of the home screen there and type out and submit your prayer request, Bruce gets it right away, and they pray for you right away. So it's a wonderful charism that we're able to share with you here at Domestic Church Media. So we thank you for allowing us to pray for you. And right now we're praying this prayer, and especially for all of your intentions, of course, but especially for families. Family, which is the basic cell of society. You know, our apostolate is called Domestic Church Media, and we gave it that name over 20 years ago because when Cheryl and I founded the apostolate and began the apostolate with the desire to bring Catholic radio and Catholic media to the New Jersey, Pennsylvania metropolitan areas, we wanted to really make the main focus the promotion of marriage and family life, building up marriage, building up family. Satan hates us for doing this. I got to tell you, he hates us for doing this. And without going into any kind of detail, we certainly feel that on a daily basis, especially as it regards family. I ask you, please, in your prayers and as we pray today, praying for all of your special intentions, again, whatever they are, I invite you, my brothers and sisters, to raise those intentions up. But let's especially pray for family, the basic cell of society. You know, the Holy Father has stressed that, and as have all of our Holy Fathers, of course. But we know that Satan is doing everything he possibly can to destroy the family, to obliterate the family, to fracture family, to divide family. So we have to pray and pray hard for all of these special intentions, my friends. So we're praying this prayer of deliverance, the prayer that we pray and have been praying for a while now, to pray for both ourselves as husband, wife, and praying for our children, especially our minor children. And we pray for all of you and your intentions as well, my friends. So let's begin. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you have given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my friends, we either pray out loud or in our heart for those very special intentions that we bring to the Lord right now. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. And let's pray our prayer to St. Michael and the beautiful prayer to our Blessed Mother, this beautiful ancient prayer, this Subtuum Praesidium prayer, as the Holy Father asks us to pray these prayers every single day with this specific intention. And he asks us this in August of 2018, so about 5.5 years ago. He asked the faithful to pray these both these prayers, the prayer to St. Michael and the prayer to our Blessed Mother, which is this beautiful ancient prayer to Our Lady, with the specific intention to protect the church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And so we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful, O Mother. I'm praying the wrong prayer. Maybe not. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. My mind is kind of, today, I'm telling you, because of all I have in front of me, the devil is really having a heyday. Anyway, we're not afraid. We just keep forging ahead here. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, again, my friends, thank you, and thank you for bearing with me here. It's funny. Some days I come in and everything runs smooth as clockwork. Other days I come in here and there's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, it's just all the technology I have. I have like three or four computers in front of me, and we're doing the video, of course, if you're watching on YouTube, our YouTube channel. There's video that I have to keep an eye on and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I'm not complaining, though. I love what I do. I've been doing this a long, long time, and I love every minute of it. So I thank you for being a part of my day. And keep us in your prayers, too, my friends. You know, Domestic Church Media, we're here to evangelize. But it's so important, as I mentioned to you regularly, to have this apostolate present in our area and really in all of areas that we go. Now, we literally go around the world. When we first began so many years ago, you know, we were limited just to people listening on the radio in the areas that our radio signal covered. And all of that has changed. Certainly, we still have the four radio stations, thanks be to God, and we're covering a wide area from all the way down in really in Lewis, Delaware, to northern Hunterdon County, into southeastern Pennsylvania, to the shore of New Jersey, Cape May, Monmouth County, up into parts of Middlesex and Somerset. I mean, a wonderful, blessed radio listening area. But over the past number of years, we've been able to utilize all the other means of communication, the other platforms that are available to us, starting with our streaming audio from our website. Well, that expanded then into our free mobile apps. You can listen on your phone or tablet. And then, of course, with the Amazon Echo and the Google Home speaker devices, we're on that platform and have been there for many years now. People have downloaded our free Domestic Church Media mobile app on every continent except Antarctica. We literally go to so many countries around the world, every continent except Antarctica. So anybody right now can be listening or watching, because we are coming to you on our YouTube channel. And the YouTube, as you know, you can watch anywhere around the world, as is the case with our Facebook page. We're coming to you live video on our Facebook page. So all these means, why? To bring Jesus to as many people as possible. I never would have imagined, literally, 20-some years ago when Cheryl and I were first beginning this journey of apostolate, never would have imagined that we would have the technology and the capability to be able to reach so many millions of people around the world on a 24/7 basis, which is what we do by God's grace and your prayers and support. So please help us. Pray for us. I'll mention the door again. You know, I've been talking about this door here. I'm in our main studio at our main facility here in Ewing, New Jersey. And there's a door behind me. You can't see it if you're watching, but it leads to the outside of the building. But it has been in very, very severe disarray for the past, well, 4 or 5 years. In fact, we don't even open it anymore, because if we open it, we won't be able to close it. So it's locked and secured, but on its last leg, so to speak. So we have to replace the door. And it's not just a door. It's the entire frame, and because it is a place of business, there are codes, there's push bars and things that have to be replaced. So the whole thing is going to cost us $3,500. I did receive a very generous $100 donation toward that already. So we're looking for $3,400, and I haven't been to the post office today, so I'm praying that maybe a surprise check will come in the mail. If you can help us out, my brothers and sisters, it would be greatly appreciated. We do need you to help us with the store. It's something we haven't planned for, but it is a very, very serious necessity. So pray about that. You know, maybe it'll be your Lenten almsgiving, supporting us so we could replace the door, put a brand new door on our building, to secure the building and our studio here. So let me know if you can do that. We'd appreciate that. Holy Father, last Thursday, I didn't see today's general audience. I don't know if he did or not give one today, but last Wednesday at his general audience, the Holy Father is doing a series and has been doing a series on vice and virtue. And last Wednesday, he said sloth is a very dangerous temptation akin to apathy. And this is what Pope Francis taught last week. He reflected on the human dimension of the vice of acedia, more commonly known as sloth, observing that it is in effect more than a cause, remarking that it is a very dangerous temptation. The Holy Father reflected on how acedia, which is a Greek word meaning lack of care, encompasses a psychological and philosophical dimension and can be linked to apathy and even absent-mindedness, which can have serious ramifications in our personal as well as our spiritual lives. It is though those who fall victim to it are crushed by a desire for death. They feel disgust at everything. The relationship with God becomes boring to them. And even the holiest acts, those that in the past warmed their hearts, now appear entirely useless to them. And you know, my friends, this is a temptation. This is something that we can all be faced with, and something that we have to really be aware of. Holy Father said, building up the human dimension of this vice, he said how in a contemporary understanding, it can be closely associated with the evil of depression, noting that for those affected with acedia, life loses its significance, prayer becomes boring, and every battle seems meaningless. And, you know, there is a book out, I forget the name, I have it, I read it, that was about Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa, for 50 years, suffered from what we call the dark night of the soul, where she was very—you wouldn't know it from hearing her speak and watching her and reading what she had to write, but became very, very just barren in her spiritual life. And this can happen. This can happen. And Holy Father said this apathetic attitude or indifference also begins when a person begins to regret the passing of time and the youth that is irretrievably behind them. Well, you know, I mentioned this the other day. People of faith, as we get older, and let's face it, you know, there's a lot more of our life behind us than ahead of us. I'll be 70 years old this year. I don't feel 70. Honestly, I don't. Emotionally, mentally, physically, I don't even think I feel, I don't know. Who knows what it feels to be like when you're 70? I don't know what that means even. But you read scripture and the psalm says, how many years, O Lord, do we have? 70, 80 if we're strong. So I thought about that this morning at breakfast. Uh-oh, wait a minute now. Did you know that the life expectancy in our country has dropped dramatically over the past couple of years? had been continually increasing until, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, and it's been dropping life expectancy in this country. A lot of theories as to why. But, you know, people of faith like you, like me, we know that death is inevitable. We know we're going to die. You know, we are the only living creature, human beings, the only living creatures on earth that know they're going to die. Animals don't know that. It's they have instinct. We have intellect. We know that we're going to die. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know how. We don't know what it's going to be like. We've read about, you know, near-death experiences and people seeing the tunnel and the people from their past, et cetera, and they go through all. I mentioned to you last week I was reading a near-death experience from someone who was a professed atheist, who said when she was on the hospital table and she had that first same experience that most people will say they have. They feel their bodies rise, their spirit rise above their bodies, and they look down and see their body lifeless on, you know, wherever they passed. But they're very much aware of their existence. But then she said, this is a person who's a professed atheist, said, then all of a sudden she was completely enveloped in darkness. The darkest dark she has ever experienced. She couldn't see anything. No shadows, nothing. And she saw off in the distance what was a very vague, faint light. Now, she began to talk about New Age type of stuff, so I stopped reading the article. But I thought that was interesting. Whereas people of faith, we know, look, we know there's something beyond this life. We know that one day we will be in a state, we will be with God in a state known as heaven that is beyond all understanding, filled with joy and happiness and love and peace. No more sickness, no more tears, St. John tells us. But people who don't have that faith, they look back. I look back on my life, but I was having the craziest dreams last night. I wouldn't even go into it, but just crazy dreams. People from my past. I mean, all kinds of stuff in my dreams last night. I'm trying to think, what did I eat anything weird before bed? I didn't. Just one of those nights, I guess. And I look back on my youth and I think, you know, I had thanks be to God, I had a wonderful life growing up in a loving home with two parents married who were 62 years old before my mom passed, 62 years of marriage before my mom passed away. Siblings, still see my siblings, and, you know, a very, very, and again, by God's grace, a very good life. There are some things I regret in my life that I did when I was younger that I knew I shouldn't have done. You know, things that were wrong, and we're all sinners. But I know that there's something beyond this life that awaits me that St. Paul tells us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the mind of man what God has in store for those who love him. And we know that on that great and glorious last day, that God will recreate our bodies and reunite them with our souls and will be in a glorified state for all eternity. But there are people today who don't believe any of that. They believe that when they die, they're done, they're gone, they're finished, nothing else beyond this. So what's the point? So you can see how people with the will regret the passing of time and youth, that they'll never go back to that. And we know, my goodness, there's something that awaits us that is far surpasses any of the experiences we've had here on earth. Holy Father said, if in youth we nurtured passions, now they seem illogical, dreams that did not make us happy. So we let ourselves go, and the distraction, thoughtlessness seems to be the only way out. One would be like to be numb, to have a completely empty mind. It is a little like dying in advance, Pope Francis said. Then he drew on the example of the ancient desert fathers for inspiration, looking specifically at the 4th century hermit Evagrius Ponticus, who referred to this vice as the noonday demon. Reflecting on the monk's account of this phenomenon, the Holy Father said, "The slothful man does not do God's work with solicitude," adding that it grips us in the middle of the day when fatigue is at its peak and the hours ahead of us seem monotonous, impossible to live. However, Pope Francis said, the most important antidote to this tendency is what he described as the patience of faith. Developing this patience on a personal level, Pope Francis said, is predicated upon resisting the temptation to be elsewhere or the desire to escape from reality. One must instead have the courage to remain and to welcome God's presence in the here and now, in the situation as it is. And, you know, we think about just even human suffering. You know, we as Christians know that suffering will come. And the devil will try to convince us to run away from it. Don't suffer. Don't suffer. And he'll try to convince us. Not that we're going out looking for it. I remember Father Andrew Apostoli, God rest his soul, when he and I would have wonderful conversations at the beginning of our work here. Father Andrew Apostoli, who passed away, my goodness, probably 6 or 7 years ago now, was very instrumental in the beginning of our work at the apostolate to help us and pray for us and counsel us, counsel me. And I was taught, we were talking about suffering, and he said, "Well, we don't go looking for it. It will come. Trust me, the Lord will allow it to come in certain circumstances and for, of course, very positive reasons. We don't understand that all the time, but it does happen that way." And so we know that's going to happen. It's just part of life, right? And the Holy Father warned against the demon of this vice by emphasizing that it wants to make you believe that it's all in vain, that nothing has meaning, and that it's not worth taking care of anything or anyone. And that you hear that a lot today. Look at the rate of suicide in the world today. And why are so many younger people doing this, taking their own lives? For this very reason, because they have fallen prey to this vice of sloth, of acedia, wanting to make you believe that it's all in vain. Nothing. How many young people have you heard say that? Life has no meaning. It's not worth it, not taking care of myself anymore. And Holy Father said, how many people in the grip of acedia, stirred by a faceless restlessness, have stupidly abandoned the good life they had embarked upon? And the Holy Father said that it's a battle that must be won at all costs. And he drew upon the example of the saints, where in many of their diaries, we can see they faced terrible moments of genuine nights of faith when everything appears dark. We've all been there, right? The example of the saints shows us how to get through the night in patience and maintain a measure of commitment to set goals more within reach, but at the same time to endure, to persevere by leaning on Jesus, who never abandons us, especially in temptation. These are the keys, my friends. You know, we're all going to go through this. We're all going to experience this at times, and we know that we have the Lord to lean on, to lead us, to guide us. I've had my moments here, you know, especially in the beginning of our work. There were days where I had, I could see nothing beyond the present moment. I would be sitting in adoration before the Lord, quite frankly, depressed. Lord, I'm doing everything I believe you've asked me to do, and there seems to be no forward movement. I'm just stagnant. Am I doing the right thing? Is this even worth it anymore? I remember having, you know, in the early days, I still have a wonderful group of men and women on my board of directors, but in the very early days, and most of them have been with me since then, we'd have these monthly conference calls, sometimes weekly conference calls, where they would take time out of their own busy schedules to set aside an hour or so to get on the phone, and we'd talk about what we're doing, where we're going, things we have to. And they, in many, so many ways, are my Simons of Cyrene, you know, helping me to carry this cross of trying to get our first radio station. But we we all feel this in our spiritual life. We all go through this, times of darkness and times of questioning. But as Holy Father said, we have the Lord to lean upon us, and he will never leave us and be with us always to help guide us and lead us through those times. I'll take a break when I come back. Oh, I want to straighten out something that somebody said, the Holy Father said, and he didn't, and other things to talk about. So stay where you are, my friends. There is more to come right here on Come to Me. Don't go away. Have you downloaded the Domestic Church Media app for all your mobile devices? It's free and enables you to stay in touch with Domestic Church Media and all we have to offer. You can tune into our live broadcast 24/7 as well as listen to our archives and podcasts. And you can even watch our local DCM programs live on our YouTube channel or watch the archive programs all on your phone or tablet. In addition to all things DCM, you'll also have so many other resources right at your fingertips. The free Domestic Church Media mobile app also gives you the daily mass readings, the liturgy of the hours, numerous common prayers and novenas, and daily saints of the day. And that's not all. The Domestic Church Media mobile app also includes the complete catechism of the Catholic Church, the entire Bible, as well as multiple Catholic periodicals and newspapers like the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, and so many others. Plus, you'll have access to all our local diocesan newspapers and so much more. Go to your app store today and download the free Domestic Church Media mobile app. We know you'll love it.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
I got him mustard and mayonnaise for his sandwich when we were having lunch.
Today we've actually organized a date night tonight.
And silverware and napkins. Wasn't that wonderful?
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I suppose I didn't yell at him for anything at all.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. I have carried my wife's purse.
What have you done for your marriage today?
What have I done?
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, you know, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, hey, you know, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, you know, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, you know, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
It started like it does for many people, question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, you know, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to. And I know where I'm going. And there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic moment. Our Catholic faith and teachings draw their inspiration from and rely upon the Word of God as the source of their truth. The Holy Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, are filled with constant accounts of God's presence among us. The New Testament Gospels, of course, center on the mystery of God's incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole of Holy Scriptures lead us to the moment at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus took bread and wine only become his very body and blood, blessed, broken, and given to the disciples and through them to all of us throughout time. Do this in memory of me. Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Eucharist is the way Jesus Christ is with us always, and is our central belief, a mystery, a sacrament, and the source of life.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back on this February 21st, 2024. I'm happy to have you here, my friends, and thank you for being a part of my day. I'm looking forward to the first day of spring is March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph. So that's a nice day to welcome spring as we celebrate the day, a special day for St. Joseph. Also a day in Lent when you kind of can break your fast and do a little feasting. Which is nice. So there was something going around over the weekend that Pope Francis had changed, the fasting rules for Lent and saying, go ahead and eat meat. Yeah, you can go ahead and eat meat. Go ahead. You know, and he was talking about the hypocrites and then telling us to fast from other, from being hypocrites and from being gossips, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not true. It never happened. Taken out of context, this is one of the things that really, really we need to be careful of, because social media, I think so, you know, I'll tell you a story. Maybe 6-7 years ago, I was talking to a couple of people who were having issues with Pope Francis. And I went and I found a document about a prayer, an ecumenical prayer event. And I was reading it verbatim. It was from, you know, a very reliable Catholic source. And I was saying how the Pope I wish I had it in front of me, because I wrote it out, transcribed what I was reading, and I put it in, how the Pope was doing these things about how he had kissed the Quran and had a, you know, and these individuals who were having an issue with, see, that's what we mean. He's doing these things, and Pope Francis, and I said, but I changed the name of the Pope. It wasn't Pope Francis. It was Pope Saint Pope John Paul II. And just the way that it, in their mind, because of things they've read on social media, people's opinions are tainted. We have to be very, very, very careful of that. Because, as I said a couple of weeks ago, it's kind of been placed on my heart. Because I have conversations with people who have an issue or issues with Pope Francis, his style, his and things he says, and the way he says it. And then because of that, they pretty much disregard everything he says. And something like this, where It's not true. This was going viral over the internet over the weekend about the Holy Father has changed fasting rules, and you can go ahead and eat meat on Fridays, but you should be fasting from these things. Never said it, but people believed it. But as it was been placed on my heart, look, the man is not perfect. No pope was perfect. Peter wasn't perfect. The Lord gave Peter the keys of the kingdom. Peter later denied he even knew Jesus 3 times. So no pope is perfect. He's a man. He's a sinner, just like the rest of us. But as I said, we were there in 2013 when, and we were at the conclave mass the day before when the cardinals met in St. Peter's, and they call it the Mass of the Holy Spirit. I've never, ever felt a presence of the Holy Spirit as I did that day when we were in St. Peter's for the conclave mass. Then, the next night, we have Pope Francis elected. But what I say to people right now is, look, if you have a problem with Pope Francis, if you have an issue with him, and it's tainting your opinion of him, so much so that you're disregarding most of what he says, and he's, I'm not going to listen to him. I had someone call me one time a few years ago who said, we don't like this pope. My whole parish doesn't like this pope. I look at it this way. In the end, when I stand before the Lord, if my infraction is, but Lord, I was only doing what you told me to do. I was honoring, respecting, and obeying the man who occupied the seat of the chair of Peter. What you told me to do. If that's my infraction, I was just doing what you told me to do. But for those of you, people who are perpetuating and encouraging people to not listen to and not obey this Holy Father, and you're wrong. Well, your infraction is a lot greater than mine. There was something on, and I hope I pulled it up here. Let's see. An exorcist, I'm trying to see who it was here. Don't have a name. Father Marcello Pellegrino. Oh, Father Marcello Pellegrino Ernetti compiled in the traditional book of the words spoken by the demons themselves through the mouths of the possessed during exorcisms when he ordered them to confess in the name of Jesus what they most liked and disliked. Here are some things that this exorcist, Father Marcello Pellegrino Ernetti, from the demons themselves through the mouths of the possessed, what they disliked most. Confession. Well, that's obviously why, right? The Eucharist, Holy Communion, Eucharistic adoration, the love of Our Lady, the Rosary, the apparitions of the Blessed Mother, the prayer of contemplative souls, and exorcists. This is what they dislike most, and obedience to the Pope. Obedience to the Pope. Things that demons like most: profanation of consecrated hosts, what they called the liquidation of innocent children, drugs, divorce, indecent dress, television, things they like most. Television. So anyway, this is from an exorcist. But I think it's interesting where what the demons dislike most was obedience to the Pope. One of the things, obviously, but first, confession, communion, these sacraments. So we got to be careful. There was something back in 1965, and I'm sure most of you have heard this, 1965, which is almost, believe it or not, 60 years ago. And I remember 1965, so that's how old I am. There was a radio host back in the 60s named Paul Harvey, and he had a daily program. And you can find actually the audio of this on, I believe, on YouTube. If you type in Paul Harvey, "If I Were the Devil." If I Were the Devil. I'm going to read this to you. This is 1965. Now, most of you probably, I'm assuming most of you have heard this, but it's interesting to reread again almost 60 years later, where it's a very prophetic in its essence. Paul Harvey wrote, said actually when he was on the air, "If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and 4/5 of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, 'Do as you please.'" Now, this is 1965. "To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach them to pray after me, 'Our Father, which art in Washington.' And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the West with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families that war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with the promise of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, and then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take those who have and give to those who want until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what do you bet I could get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich? I would caution against extremes in hard work and patriotism in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on the TV is the way to be. And thus, I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing." And that was from Paul Harvey, 1965. "1965. and my brothers and sisters. Again, if you Google "If I Were the Devil, Paul Harvey," you'll get either, as I just read you, the transcript or the actual broadcast when he spoke these words. But how prophetic is that, to think about what we've become? I've always seen in my own, again, this is just my own opinion, but I've always seen the 1960s as the apex, the turning point of civilization, really, in a sense. Because if you go back to life, and I remember vaguely, now I started kindergarten in 1960, so I was 6, 7 years old at the beginning of the decade. The end of the decade, I was entering into high school. But I remember 1960, 61, 62. I remember basically the innocence and the excitement. You know, there was something, and I, again, I'm vaguely, now, without issue. Remember, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis where we were on the brink of total disaster. But even that had a spiritual element to it. And I'm sure many of you remember this. If you went to grammar school in, or school, but I remember as elementary school students in the early 1960s, remember the air raid drills? Putting your head on the desk and your hands over your head, like that's going to, the fallout shelters. But I remember very vaguely during those, was it 10 days in October of 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis, where my mother and father took us children into the, we were in the house, in the living room, and prayed the rosary every night during those days as the church was telling people, pray the rosary. And obviously nuclear war was averted. But for the most part, the first half of that decade were pretty calm, life went on. The greatest generation was raising their families, and people were pretty much, 80% of people in the church were still going to Mass regularly. But we know that in 1960, Margaret Mary O'Hare, won her case, and prayer was taken out of the schools, and all of a sudden things began to slowly deteriorate. And then we got into the second half of the decade with the hippies and the free love generation and don't trust anybody over 30. And by the end of the decade, we had completely made a 180-degree turn. Now, many people will go back and say when Pope Leo XIII had his vision and he heard the conversation between Satan and the Lord, and this is what inspired Pope Leo to write prayer to St. Michael, that the 100 years that the Lord gave Satan, now that was in 1884. I believe 1884. But the 1960s were obviously an enormous turning point in attitude, religion, behavior, politics, morality. And just see how much our culture has deteriorated in the past 60 years since this was written by Paul Harvey. Now, you turn on the TV today, and what do you see? Or you listen to music. The other night, not the other night, but a few weeks ago, they had the Grammy Awards, which is the award they give for music in the country. I would never watch it. But just seeing the next night on the news, like who the winners were and what they were winning for, was like, what is this? Music, you go back to the music of whether it be the classical music or even the music of the 30s and 40s, just pretty love songs and to a certain point. And they just have, the whole culture has just gotten so ugly. I was driving home yesterday, and you know, we hear the term road rage, right? People have road rage. I think people are just living life rage because they just seem so angry and aggressive and discourteous, and it just the whole environment, you know, and we're enveloped in this ugliness, I think. And I'm not saying everybody or everything or every, you know, there's a lot of beauty in the world. But the way we treat each other, the things that are being promoted, there's such enormous distrust. We have to acknowledge the presence of Satan, of the enemy, of the devil, and the presence of evil in the world. How much longer can the Lord hold back his hand when we are living this way? And it's people like you, people who listen to and watch Catholic media and Catholic radio and me, you know, we have the power of prayer. We have the power of unity. We have the power of love, of charity. We have the power of the Lord with us. And it's up to us to be the ones to be making sacrifices, mortifications, penance, and prayer, and offering it up. This is what this season of Lent is all about. But, you know, we can use this to combat the evil in the world today, which is so prevalent. What Paul Harvey wrote 60 years ago has only gotten worse. You know, it's only gotten worse. Who would ever have thought? When I was in high school and kids were getting, you know, busted for having a marijuana in their cars, and I know a couple kids in high school who that happened, and they were the druggies. Now you can go into a store and buy it. Who would ever want to? When did all of a sudden all these casinos become, you know, it used to just be you'd have to go to either to Las Vegas or Atlantic City to gamble in a casino. Now, no matter where you go, this is exactly what Paul Harvey said would happen. And it's happened. It is happening. And it's only getting worse. So we have to pray, my friends, and use this beautiful season of Lent to make those sacrifices and mortifications for the world. I'll be with you again tomorrow, God willing, Catechism Day. So I hope you can join me then. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you for being a part of my day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. God bless you, and God love you. In me.